Professional love is caring enough about the person across from you to be wildly curious about their why, to ask the tough questions, and to say the hard thing.
The business of sales is sometimes harder than actually making the sale in the first place. See, you're not only a professional salesperson, you're a business owner. But the focus always seems to be on sales. Well, we're here to help you. I've been in the sales world and training sales professionals for over four decades. My name's Morris Sims. I've seen some great salespeople fail because they didn't run their business very well. Well, we're going to share success concepts and interview some great entrepreneurs who are going to help you in your business. Welcome to the Business of Sales. Business of Sales. My name is Morris Sims, and today Marie Hale is our guest, and we're excited about having Marie on the show. I could tell you what I know about Marie, but it would probably not be as good as allowing her to tell you. So, Marie, please tell us, how did you get to where you are today? What's your journey like?
Oh, my journey has been dark and twisty. I learned at a very, very young age that my brain didn't really work the way that other people's did. Likes to go really fast and likes to get things done without necessarily getting buy-in from every single person in the entire organization.
That sounds a little like me. I can buy that.
Right? It's that entrepreneurial seizure.
Yeah.
I can do this better. And so I opened my first company at 22, which was my belly dancing agency, because I got tired of trying to explain unionization to other belly dancers.
Okay.
That was not an effective conversation, but I tried really hard.
I hear you.
And I had some great opportunities to be the executive director of a women's networking organization. Uh-huh. And grew them from 12 to about 350 members here in the Chicagoland market. And as I was watching these amazing and brilliant women go about business and go about marketing and sales, all I could see was random acts of marketing. They were out there, they were doing the stuff, they were putting the time in, and nobody knew where their business was coming from, what efforts were working, or had a sales process.
Oh, that's pretty rough.
But it's solopreneur, entrepreneur 101, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We all dive in and figure it out on the way down. And so at that time, I was looking around and I found what would soon become my love language, which is a CRM. And I said, oh, now we can track everything. Now we can automate things. And
see, excuse me, Marie. Let me just make sure we're all on the same page. CRM, client relationship marketing system?
Management system.
Management system. Client relationship management system. Got it.
Right. And so, you know, a lot of your listeners that are in the financial planning industry know all about it because they're putting their leads in and having to, you know, make sure that they follow those paths. But those weren't quite there when we started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the first things that I did when I decided I really wanted to give this entrepreneurial thing a go is I signed up for sales coaching. And it just so happens that coach and I traded business back and forth for 10 plus years, right?
Wow.
He would have a team that needed good marketing. I would have a client that couldn't close to save their lives. And so it went. And after about 10 years, we became a family. And we opened a little family business where we put his sales coaching together with my marketing agency. And At Revenue was born. So after, you know, working together on these curriculums and things for 10 years, we were able to use it as rocket fuel for small business owners and really start to make some impacts in being able to raise the revenue for a client and then raise their profits the next year by dropping down to a really fractional rate and making sure that they knew how to run their business forward and continue the scale. Unfortunately, he passed about 7 months after we opened our family business.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And I had about 3 weeks to figure out what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. If I was going to close down part of the business, close the whole business, or if I was going to step into his shoes and teach the curriculum of sales through the filter of professional love that we had been working on. Mm-hmm. And I knew that this world would be less if I did not continue mm-hmm. to change lives. And so I put on my lipstick and kept walking.
Outstanding. I'm so sorry you had to do it that way, but I bet you're right. That sounds like the world's going to be a much better place because of that. You mentioned professional love. Tell me more about that. That just sounds so good and intriguing.
It's always interesting to walk into a conference full of men and get up on stage and tell them that you're going to talk to them about love.
I can imagine the eyes rolling and okay, I got you. I got the picture.
Yep. But professional love is caring enough about the person across from you to be wildly curious about their why, to ask the tough questions, and to say the hard thing.
My friends, thank you again for listening to The Business of Sales. We appreciate you. Hey, a quick bit of news for you just to get started today. Our friend and mentor, Dr. Randy Marshall. Well, Randy has taught many of us in the world of sales over the years. He makes no apology for his faith and his Christianity. He is in Poland right now, helping with the refugees and providing aid to the Ukrainians. Randy has taught there for several years to help build leaders to plant churches in that country. Now he works to help get them medicine and clothes and food and, yeah, even bulletproof vests. So please pray for Randy and his mission and his safe travels on all his many trips back and forth. And if you're moved to help support this work, go to a website. It's tccp.pro. That's the Center for Church Planters. tccp.pro, P-R-O, and share your treasure to help a people who are truly in need of physical and spiritual support at this time. Carla and I have been blessed, and we've given to this organization because I know every penny is going to go to help a family in Ukraine and to spread the gospel. You know, our Lord taught us, as often as you've done this for one of my least brothers, you did it for me. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for listening to The Business of Sales. Hey, let's get back to the show.
So often in our sales transactions, we stay at surface level.
Yeah.
We don't get to compelling reasons. We don't understand the personal and emotional impact that we could help resolve or provide resources for, because we don't ask enough questions, and we're salespeople. We talk too much.
Yeah.
So this particular methodology kind of removes the experience of sales completely and focuses on relationships first, being of service, and then closing the right clients. So you've got a portfolio full of evangelists as opposed to just transactions. Mm-hmm. And when we look back at the companies then and the sales professionals that truly survived through the pandemic, it was those folks that had authentic relationships. Those folks that could reach out to their network and actually knew them. Mm-hmm. Those are the folks that thrived. Everybody else was still kind of scratching their heads for the first couple of years.
Yeah. And, you know, that's I believe that's really the basis of good professional sales, is building that business relationship and caring about what happens with your client, because we're here to help them solve their problems. And if we lose sight of that, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah, we I will often say that we named our company At Revenue, mm-hmm. not At Doing Marketing Stuff.
Absolutely. And I love what you said, the random acts of marketing, because my word, how many of those do you run into every day?
Well, and there's going to be a point where there's only so many networking events that you can go to. And we know, as financial advisors, you walk in and if you're not speaking to what's important to the people that are around you, you're going to hit glaze within the first 10 seconds.
Easily.
So it's that listening to your clients and then taking that information and using it to inform your marketing, to inform where the world sits with their pain points and in the different sectors that you play in, because let's face it, we've got a world that's been in survival mode mm-hmm. for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Everybody is in limbic fatigue. Their executive function is blown. And it kind of shows up in one of a couple of ways. Either your sales cycle has tripled, which that's pretty consistent across the board right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got clients that jump with very little information and almost cling on to you and put all of their expectations and intentions on you no matter what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just know that you're there and you could help. And so you'll take care of everything.
You're going to solve all of my problems and we're all going to be rich.
Exactly. Exactly. it's amazing how nobody had that figured out until you. But it's really, you know, when you're listening authentically and from a place of love and service, you're going to hear the kinds of things that you need to inform your sales process, that you need to inform your marketing process, because those pain points are going to change and shift, especially as the world continues to go through this rock tumbler mm-hmm. that we see ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is all about asking the right questions, and that's not as hard as it sounds. I was coaching a client earlier today, and we were talking about that initial conversation with somebody, and it came down to, you know, well, what do I say? What do I say? I finally said, say the same thing you would if you were just trying to kick around a conversation and make a new friend. Let's build a relationship before we worry about all the interrogation about data.
Absolutely. And knowing how to artfully create that space.
Yeah.
And using tools like transactional analysis and neuro-linguistic programming mm-hmm. to help make that connection and make you a meta listener, where you're hearing not only what they're saying, but hit the context underneath. Mm-hmm. So you know where you can lovingly dig in and show them that you actually care about them as a person before you care about the transaction.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the best part is that also usually helps to keep the undesirables out of your book of business, because they will show you up front who they are, and then it's your job to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the fun of being an entrepreneur is you get to choose who you do business with.
100%.
Which makes all the difference in the world when it comes to enjoying what you do all day long. And it's just a lot of fun when you get to work with folks that you enjoy working with. It's incredible. You know, you used another word that intrigues me. I think it's so vitally important. I guess that's really what it boils down to. And that's authenticity, being authentic. Boy, I don't know about you, but I can sure spot somebody that's working me, that's not authentic, that God only knows where they are because what they're putting forth is not them. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, and it's so hard to not try and save that person, because you can't save them.
I want to send them out of the room. I want to send them away. I want to tell them to go get a job at Walmart being a greeter, but don't try and do sales.
Yeah. And it's, you know, so being in the marketing world, a lot of us partner together and work with each other and have strategic alliances.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I did it, but somehow last year I fell into the Bruh Club. of marketing. All of these young men, probably 26, 27, with the new big thing, right? And it was funny because as they started introducing me to one another, each one of them would literally try and spot something in the background of my Zoom meeting.
Oh, no.
And talk about it. It's like the fish on the wall thing. And I was like, you know, when I lost my partner, I went out and I started talking about grief and what it's like to grieve on brand.
Yeah.
Because I knew that people don't talk about these things, and yet we were all going to experience it. When the pandemic was in its full glory and I was trying to survive being a now single mom and CEO and the world's worst freaking third grade teacher and all of those things, when I hit my breaking point, I knew that there was somebody else out there that had to be going through this. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that space where you can take what's happening in your life and really put it out there in service of others, it starts to create this whirlwind of authenticity where those folks that just can't lock it in start to sort themselves out very quickly.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's, you know, I'm lucky that the nonprofit Forward Revolution has taken off as well as it has. And we're able to help a lot of those folks that were displaced by the feminine recession and the diversity recession and the degree recession find their way back into sharpening their sales skills and matching them with work or placing them with a client and helping them to change the narrative of what was happening from everything is burning to the ground to, yes, everything burned to the ground because it needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grow something wild and beautiful in its place because now we've got all this fertile earth. How can we change everything so that the single parent or the caregiver that's trying to take care of their folks and their kids can still have a healthy and happy career that actually works for life? I don't think any of us are under the assumption that life doesn't continue to happen the minute we turn on a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, afraid so.
So we made a space for people to show up just as they are. If you got a 2-year-old hanging off the side of your head, then that is what is going on for you right now.
That's right. Oh, I love it.
But we could all help to lift the tide for each other. And I think that's been one of the biggest parts of my journey was going from a space of can I walk this road alone to using what we've built to change the way that work works for everyone.
Hey, I got a question for you. What's your favorite destination for a few relaxing days to unwind and recharge your batteries, or your favorite place to take the family for some big fun? Find that picture in your mind. Go on, do it now. Have you got it? Well, now think about all the planning and the booking and the flights and the reservations and all the rest of those other pesky details that you have to go through just to get to that beautiful picture in your mind. Now, what if somebody took all those details and made it easy? Make it easy for you to get there and do what you want to do. Well, that's what our friends at Small World Big Fun can do for you. They make travel easy. All you got to do is show up and have fun. The great people at Small World Big Fun are going to handle all the details that you want them to handle. You want to go to Disney? Hey, they know all the secrets. River cruises in Europe, Cancun beach trips, Belize maybe, cruise Alaska, or cruise anywhere. You name it and Small World Big Fun can plan it and make it happen for you. Really, I've been using Small World Big Fun for years, and frankly, so has the rest of our family. We just show up and have fun. Cindy Miner and her 42 other great agents are going to make it easy on you to show up and enjoy life. So go to smallworldbigfun.com or Call Small World at 501-831-5211. That's 501-831-5211. Call them now and get started planning for your next trip to that absolutely beautiful picture that you saw back when this conversation began. You know, I can see it now. The white sandy beaches of the Redneck Riviera all along the Gulf of Mexico, and it's calling me. Golly gee, can you hear the waves? Yeah, I can smell the ruby red Gulf shrimp on the grill. Redfish fresh from the boat for dinner and, oh. Hey, Carla, bring me a drink, would you? And adjust the umbrella, the sun's in my eyes again. Well, that's fantastic.
That it became so beautifully mine.
Marie, we've got a lot of entrepreneurs in our audience, I believe, and a lot of professional salespeople that are out there doing their thing every day and trying to run a business. You've done that successfully now in several different iterations. What can you give our audience today from a practical standpoint that might help them improve their effectiveness and efficiency as they're trying to go about running their business?
So I think I want to stay in the sales space for a minute. Setting powerful agendas for the conversations that you have is one of the best tools that anyone can use. Whether it's a networking conversation, a sales conversation, even your employees' conversations, making sure that you know what the purpose is, and that you've got permission to ask those tough questions and to dig deeper. Your folks are listening to a lot of very personal details and talking about money. And those are the things that people aren't necessarily great at talking about. But when you set those agendas and create a structure for where you're going, you get more value out of every interaction. And there's this beautiful place that you get to. And for those of you that are out there still working the networking circuits, you're going to resonate with this, where when you set those boundaries and set that agenda, ensuring that, you know, our only goal here is to make sure that we're a good fit for each other, which means I can say no too. And you've got somebody that has just completely run off at the mouth for 35 minutes of your networking meeting, you can buy yourself back 25 minutes. You can dismiss those folks that are not aligned to your values or able to keep their word from the beginning of a conversation until the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you start to create that reputation of efficiency and using your time beautifully, because every bit of it's an investment, even if it's just your time investment. There's got to be a ROI.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And everything that we do, there's got to be some return for the investment that we're making. That's for sure. Marie, if our folks wanted to get a hold of you to learn more about what you do and what your work can do for them, how would be the best way for them to get a hold of you and to learn more about At Revenue?
So you can visit us on atrevenue.com and find us on the same at any social platform. And the nonprofit is FWD Revolution. And trust me, you'll get a lot of inspiration and energy from that particular organization, although it is a bit cheeky, so buyer beware. And we are constantly finding ways to put this love and energy back into the business community.
Marie, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the Business of Sales.
It's absolutely my pleasure, and my apologies, my Pomeranian has activated. But Morris, I so appreciate the love and energy that you're putting out there into the sales world. Folks need to know that sales is not a dirty word, can be done from a place of love.
Totally can. It's a noble profession. There's no doubt about it. Marie, thank you very much, and much thanks to your Pomeranian. What's the puppy's name?
Violet.
Violet. Well, we're glad that she joined the show as well. Have a wonderful week, and thank you so much for being with us. And for everybody else out there, hey, you guys, go find somebody else to talk to today, because it's going to be a great day, and you're going to do some wonderful things for folks. Everybody that you talk to will be better off because you took the time to say hello. Have a great time. I look forward to seeing you again next time right here on the Business of Sales.